I need somebody. Help. Not just anybody. Help. You know I need someone. Help.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another award-winning episode of Real Recovery. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. That makes me happy to say, George.
It's nice, isn't it?
No, it's really nice. I honor mothers. I just want to say that's the hardest job in the world. And thank you for what you do. We love you.
Absolutely. I miss my mom. My mom's been gone 37 years, Bill.
I'm very sorry. That's a long time to be without your mom.
I hope she misses me. But no, I look forward to seeing her again. She was a believer. I'm a believer. It's all good.
Yeah, well, mothers have such difficult jobs. You know, in the beginning of life, they have to teach you to walk and talk, and then shortly after that, they have to teach you to sit down and be quiet. There's a lot of conflict going on, from what I can tell.
You got the first part.
Yeah, right. But, you know, my mom, most of what I learned about prayer, I learned from my mother. You know, she said, you better pray that comes out of the rug.
Yep.
You better pray we find your brother's eyeball. You know, the games, they got rough, you know, and then, anyway.
You grew up in a rough part of town.
I did. And my mom, I just want to say a special hi to my mom tonight. I know she's listening. So
happy I want to say hi to your mom, too.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. And George, with your mother completely has been gone for so long.
Completely gone. Yes.
I mean.
Yeah. No, she was kind of gone for a while. Now she's completely gone. So thank you.
Yeah. Okay. How do I can't spin that one, can I?
No, it's cool. She would have thought you were funny.
She would have liked that, wouldn't she?
She would have loved you.
Yeah.
Well, she liked me. She would have loved you.
That's true. But, you know, George, don't you sometimes, there's so many things you would miss about a mother and all she is and her love. And, I mean, there's so much to say about a mother. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, because we have three mothers in the studio tonight, and all of them have spectacular stories, and I can't wait to get to them.
Absolutely. No, I was just thinking, you know, I don't remember what my mom's voice sounds like. That's sad, isn't it?
That is sad.
Yeah. Well, that killed the show, didn't it?
to bring the show to a grinding halt, George.
Thank you. Famous for that. I think today's stories are victory, you know, and we take for granted the miracles that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I never want to lose that sense of awe, Bill, that you talk about, that what God has done in our lives and in our families by giving us the mothers that he gave us. It's a great thing.
Can't wait
to get started.
You know, George, it's been a long time, obviously, 37 years your mother's been gone. You have not had...
Completely gone.
I'm talking completely gone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a long time since you've had a home-cooked meal from your mother.
Well, it's longer than 37 years.
Oh, really? Even when she was around, you didn't get it?
TV dinners, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember those, the Swansons? They
I love them.
Great.
I love the little compartments with petrified food in them.
Yeah.
Those are great. Now I picture you shopping at the grocery store and half of the things in your cart say... Or fast relief. That's what I picture.
Good picture.
Yeah. I picture that's how you cook.
I don't cook.
I know you don't. All right. Before the show gets completely off the rails, let's get back to our celebrated mothers that we have here in the studio tonight. And we are excited to hear their stories. So we're not going to spend much time. We're not going to talk about a step tonight. We're going to skip the step because we got such a... great guests in studio. So we want to welcome to tonight's show, Kelly. We're going to start with Kelly. Kelly, there's that big smile, and boy, that's a mom that has worked hard in life, haven't you?
Lights the room up. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
And how many kids?
I have one son.
Okay.
He's 8 years old. His name is Connor.
Okay.
So.
And is Connor listening maybe tonight?
He might be listening
tonight.
Good.
Excellent. Yep. Hey, Connor, how's it going? Mm-hmm. All right. He doesn't really talk back. Anyway, how did you get started? Experimenting? Was it peer pressure? What happened that you got involved in using chemicals, alcohol? What did you start with?
All right. Well, I actually started using methamphetamine at the age of 15. I started using with my dad. I was born and raised in Texas, and I lived there for 13 years. And my parents ended up getting a divorce. In 2001, and my mom moved me and my two older sisters to Minnesota. And during that, we got into a car accident, and I lost one of my sisters and my aunt. And I don't know, it just was a very traumatic time in my life. And my dad ended up hitchhiking from Texas to Minnesota. And I just remember on my 15th birthday, just my dad just introducing it to me. And and me just, you know, wanting to have that relationship with my father, just wanting him to be in my life again. And just, I trusted him, you know, and so that kind of is how I got started using drugs and alcohol. And, I used for a good 10 years, same drug. So,
wow.
Usually you start off with, you know, sipping a beer in the backyard barbecue. You
don't, cigarette.
You know, yeah,
gateway
something.
Drug meth, usually not, Bill. And with your dad.
Yeah, that's a that's a tough story to hear for sure. So 10 years of use, and I would imagine that there's starting to be lots of problems going on.
At that time, yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of problems, a lot of just brokenness right from the beginning.
Mm. Were you hooked right away? I've heard that when you smoke it, you're addicted right away. I never did that one, but...
I would say yeah, for sure. You know, it definitely started out just for fun, but it ended to where I was just, I needed it. I felt like I needed it to get up in the morning. I needed it just to function. I needed it to deal with the feelings that I had inside. Like I just needed it. I needed it to get by. So.
That's addiction, Bill.
Yeah, it is. So was there any, problems with the law that started to arise? I mean, I know this habit is not cheap, and was there anything attached to using that was starting to lean towards criminal activity?
I don't really have any charges due to methamphetamine, but shortly after I turned 21, I did, however, get a DWI and a theft of a motor vehicle. As far as my drug use, I don't really have any criminal charges against me besides that. So, but it definitely, I definitely lived a very promiscuous life. I degraded my body. I degraded myself. I used my family. It just got really bad, really bad. So
things are just spiraling downward, and you are feeling, possibly more and more desperate.
Yeah.
And you're more and more willing to do whatever it takes just to keep this thing going.
For sure. For sure. I got pregnant at the age of 17. So I had my son really young. I'm 26 today. And, even when I had been using for 2 years before I had my son, and, shortly after I had him, I started using again, and CPS came a part of my life and took my son away. And, by the grace of God, my mom took my son in, and that started the round of treatment centers for me. I've gone to several different treatment centers trying to just get this thing right. And the one thing that I was missing was God, though. I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I didn't know who God was. I didn't really know much about the Bible. So I definitely came from desperation. I was desperate for change. I was hungry for change.
I love that, Bill, because we can stop a behavior, but the key to a solid recovery, as we talk about all the time on the program, is not stopping a behavior, it's developing a relationship with the creator of the universe so we can live the life that he designed for us. And you can only do that through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's really important, and I'm glad you got that at such a young age. I know you went through a lot. We kind of have to go through what we go through to get to where we are, though, don't we?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that. I was just actually journaling the other day, and I was just thinking, God, you know, like, I'm as much trauma as I've gone through and as much pain as I've put my family and myself through, like, I've learned so much about who I am and the person that I want to be and where I want to go. And I try not to regret my past by any means. I don't, because it's made me to be the person that I am today, and God's definitely done an awesome work in me. So
you can't really know who you are until you know who you are in Christ.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. Say that again. That's really good. We don't say that enough.
Okay. You can't really know who you are until you know who you are in Christ. So outside of a relationship with Christ, you are pretty much lost and struggling and grappling for anything.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out how to build up some sort of self-image and who you are, and boy, that's just disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're talking to Kelly, and we've got other guests in the studio tonight on Mother's Day. We're glad you've joined us tonight on Real Recovery. We'll be back in just a minute after a very short break. You're listening to My Faith Radio. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back, everybody, to Real Recovery. Thanks for being with us tonight. We are talking to Kelly, and Kelly is really got quite a fascinating story, George.
You bet.
It is not very often I hear someone talk about getting involved in drugs or alcohol with their parent and the drug being so powerful.
Yes. It's not your typical gateway starting drug?
No, and it's something parents generally try to keep away from the kids, not invite them into.
Sure.
So, Kelly, right before break, you were starting to share about developing a new identity in Christ. And how did that start to happen for you?
Well, let's see. I had come to the very end of myself. I was desperate for change. I needed something to happen in my life. And I just remember, you know, just being desperate for whatever. And I didn't have a relationship with Jesus at the time. And I heard about this program called Teen Challenge. And I just knew inside of me that I needed to go to this program. And so I remember journaling one day, just saying, okay, whatever happens, something needs to change in my life. And I went into Teen Challenge, just completely empty of myself. And that's where I met Jesus. And he totally rocked my world. I cried for 3 months straight when I first got into the program because I heard the truth for the first time. I knew that everything that I believed about myself and everything that I believed about life prior to Teen Challenge was false. And I was just open to whatever, you know, and I don't know. Now my life is completely different. And I'm just so grateful that today my perspective on life has changed a lot. And now I don't have to live for myself anymore. I can live for Jesus.
One of the things that I like about doing this show is we get to see people where they are now and hear what they were like. And there's a huge change here, Bill, because the person that I'm talking to, that you're talking to, is not somebody that would be smoking meth. Very solid, healthy, happy, smiling. It's neat to see
eyes that are dancing. I mean,
yep.
I can't picture you being high. I just can't imagine. It's part of your world.
Right.
I mean, this is the transformational power of Christ in your life. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. How often do you witness the power of his resurrection? When I see a life that's been redeemed and he has claimed you for his own and given you life and hope and love, and your heart is now has great purpose and intention.
Yeah.
And you're present for your son, and you've got a future.
Yeah.
You know, George, you know what it's like to cry for 3 months straight.
I do when it starts snowing, Bill, every year.
That's my whole point.
I'm interested to hear what your next steps are. What are you looking forward to?
All right. Well, the ending of my story is fantastic. Actually, I'm really excited to share this with you. So prior to me coming into Teen Challenge, a week before coming into Teen Challenge, my dad came to my hometown and he spoke to me about this life that he had had, this life that he had found. And I knew with everything in me that what he had found was what I would find. And later did I find out that he found Jesus.
Mm.
And so today my dad is 3 years clean. And my dad has painted a picture of what the Father in heaven looks like. And he's been a huge supporter for me this entire time that I've been in Teen Challenge. And so I'm actually done with the Teen Challenge Leadership Institute on Friday, the 16th. And from there, I plan on moving to St. Cloud and living with my dad. And you know, God is just in the process of restoring my family completely. I haven't had custody of my son for 8 years. And this summer, my son will come live with me at my dad's house. And I'm going to be trained up to train my child in the way to walk with the Lord. And I just know with every part of me that this is God's plan for my life. You know, he spoke Proverbs 22:6 over me. Train your child in the way that he should go. And when he is older, he will not depart from it. So not only is God using my dad to work in my life, but he's also using my dad to work in my son's life. And for that, I'm just truly grateful. So
I have nothing to say. That is so cool.
It's really, really powerful.
Yeah. It's amazing to me. I never get tired of hearing the miraculous, redemptive forgiveness power that only comes from Jesus Christ. And the years we've lost to the locusts, God will restore.
Absolutely.
You know, he has plans for us from the creation of the universe. that are amazing. Bill, that is such a cool story.
It takes my breath away. I mean, this is a full circle story where the family of origin is restored and Dad has seen the light. And Kelly has come seen the truth. And boy, I tell you, lives are changed.
Nice. Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah, no problem.
George, I feel like we should take a nap after that.
Kind of warm me out. It's exciting.
It is exciting. I just love it. And our next in-studio guest is Rebecca. And Rebecca, probably try to outdo that one, Rebecca. Go ahead.
I can't.
So you also have had a story and a history of use, is that correct?
Yes.
And when did it start for you? How old were you?
Mine started later in life.
Okay.
My addiction was to alcohol, and it started somewhere in my mid to late 30s. I was married in my late 20s, and I'm still married to my husband. And we struggled with infertility for about 5 years. And that just left me feeling very empty and alone. The enemy really came in and just wreaked havoc in my heart and in my mind of telling me that, the very thing that I wanted to be able to give to my husband, which was a child, I was not able to do. And, we pursued adoption. So I have an adopted child. And then very shortly after that, I became pregnant. And so I have an adopted and a biological child. And when my children were young, that was really when my addiction to alcohol kind of took off. I was a stay-at-home mom. I had two kids under one. And I knew a lot about the Lord in my mind. So I had a lot of head knowledge, but I didn't have a lot of heart knowledge. And so I felt very inadequate as a parent. Didn't really feel like my opinions mattered to anybody, and just felt very empty and alone. And my spiritual life was pretty dry. And I just found that self-medicating with alcohol was a real quick route to helping me relieve how I was feeling about myself.
Was it a little nerve-wracking, though, to be drinking at home with kids that age and fearing that you wouldn't be able to be as attentive as you needed to be, or was it starting to create a little panic in you as well?
Did you have any
close calls, anything that you kind of look back and say, ooh, that was a little bit too close for comfort?
A little bit. My addiction took off very, very quickly. I went from, drinking at home and just strictly staying at home with the kids to drinking and then putting the kids in the car and driving somewhere. And that was ultimately where my secret got out. I had a day where I chose to drink all day, and I put my children in the car and I drove with them. And I was pulled over, got a DWI, spent a few days in the Hastings Detox Center, and my husband's world was about to come completely unraveled in ways that he couldn't possibly have imagined.
Because you're in detox for a couple of days,
mm-hmm.
and he's coming to the reality that, uh-oh.
Right. My wife isn't who I thought she was.
Mm-hmm. And, George, that seems like a story I've heard more than once, just with the stress of life and the anxiety and the pressures, and you're looking for some way to just take some pressure off and
escape.
Self-medication. Yeah.
Escape. Two kids under one? Wow. That's enough pressure anyway. And then you start drinking, and it kind of works for a while, doesn't it? It does relax you.
Yep.
It does reduce stress and kind of like the feeling. Couple drinks, kind of warms you up a little.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, Satan's in then, and it just increases.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you know, you're in detox and jail, and what happened?
Yep.
It's like, how did I get here, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. My time in detox and coming out of that, that was just the beginning. I, at the request of my husband and a counselor, I sought treatment on an outpatient basis. And knowing that I needed the help, but also knowing that at that time I wasn't willing to change. And so outpatient treatment, relapse. Inpatient treatment, relapse. Another outpatient treatment, you know, same cycle. And for me, I really had to get to the end of my rope of knowing that I can't get out of this one. I was trying to get everything, get out of it by myself,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't do that.
When you were in rehab, were you thinking about using again?
Yes.
So it was always on your mind?
Yes.
You were never in there going, ooh, this is it. I'm going to be clean when I get out.
Very rarely did I ever think that.
You were thinking more like, when I get out, I can't wait to have another drink.
Yep.
So there was something fundamentally flawed with your whole process of recovery, relapse, and you needed something much more profound to happen.
Yes.
And that's when God came in.
Yes. Yes. Through the consequences of my choices, I found myself on probation. And, of course, part of my requirements of probation was that I couldn't drink. And during one of the times when I had violated my probation, I was wearing an ankle monitor. And even during that time, I was so desperate and, like, physically craving the alcohol that I chose to drink. And I found myself in jail. And I was in jail for 3 weeks. Sadly, I was in jail over my son's 6th birthday. But it was in that place that I finally found myself thinking, I can't get out of this one. There's no getting out of this one. And that's when the Lord really showed up and said, I want you to go to Teen Challenge. And I said, okay. And he said to me, you know, I want you to do the long-term program. Yes, I know. And the Lord said, it's going to be okay. Because I really feared that if I went, my children weren't going to remember who I was. And just all sorts of crazy thoughts came into my mind about that. And one of the things that the Lord promised me was that a year in Teen Challenge away from my children and my husband was nothing compared to the lifetime that he was going to give me with my family.
Okay, let's back up here. Here's somebody that's pretty smart, and we've just met her today, but all the consequences going on. She wants to be a good mother. You know, Bill, that you should quit, you need to quit, and you have to quit, but you don't want to quit. And I think there's a lot of miracles that we need to see here. All of a sudden, God has intervened. I want to do this. I've been to previous treatments. And now they were outpatient, then an inpatient, but I always relapsed, and I was thinking about it because I really didn't want to quit. And now all of a sudden I do want to quit, and I'm going to sign up for a year. Wow. I think the miracle is, number one, God changes our heart and we want to quit, and we realize that we're only going to do it with him. And whatever he wants us to do, all of a sudden we're obedient. We got a person who's breaking the law, totally out of control, like all of us when we're in our addiction are. And all of a sudden I'm willing to do whatever you want. Total miracle, I think.
I couldn't agree more, George. Mm. I mean, you're at a point where you have an ankle bracelet on, not your favorite fashion accessory, and you're basically saying, I don't care. I'm going to drink anyway, and you must know that it's going to cause problems.
Yes.
And you didn't care.
Right.
George, talk about consequences. I mean, they don't care about consequences, right? I mean,
you care, but you think you can handle it, or you rationalize it, or you minimize it, you justify it, you deny it. There's the power of the enemy for delusion, we underestimate. We don't talk about it, but there's good people that make choices and it compounds. It talks about in the book of James that we're, you know, carried away and enticed by our own lust. And once that happens, we hit a stage where we are out of control. I need this to keep going. It's my only alternative. I need it to live. And it's a total delusion, but only Jesus can break that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you just heard. And now I'm willing to do whatever it takes.
Yeah, it's fascinating. We're going to take a very short break. When we come back, we'll have more with our in-studio guests from Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. Thanks for joining us, and happy Mother's Day. You're listening to Real Recovery on Faith Radio.
Try to see things my way.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real Recovery. So glad you joined us tonight. Happy Mother's Day. Bill Arnold across the studio, George Fraser, and, of course, at the board, Alex W. Hey, Alex.
Hello.
Anything you want to say to your mama?
Love you very much.
Isn't that nice, mm-hmm. George?
It was nice.
Ah, that's pretty sweet. We're talking tonight to three mothers in studio. They all have had pretty radical experiences, and God has touched their lives and brought them out of the pit. And we're talking tonight to Rebecca right now, and she has had an experience at Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge where God got a hold of her and loved her and gave her guidance, and his truth became your foundation. And how did it go from just having head knowledge about God to it really getting into your heart and having the decisions you make and the choices you make now being dictated by God and his truth?
Well, Teen Challenge is obviously a year-long program, and it's for good reason. I really spent a lot of time looking at and addressing and breaking down all of the lies and the false things that I believed about myself. I truly believed that I didn't have a lot of value and that my opinions really didn't matter. And so I really began to dig into those and look at those and discover the truth of God's word. And that I am the apple of his eye, and that he does have a plan and a destiny for me, and that he created me with purpose. And so because of that, the way that I think and how I feel and what my opinion is really does matter.
He loves you because he loves you because he loves you.
Yes.
Isn't that sweet?
Yes.
So give a word right now to someone who might be listening, who might be, you know, like you, who doesn't feel like their opinions matter.
Oh, gosh.
Or they don't feel like they're of great value or worth, and they feel maybe a little bit depressed and triggering, and maybe they're triggered to use.
There truly is hope. I mean, I just remember feeling so hopeless and so empty. And, you know, it really is okay to reach out and to ask for help. I felt like I had to do everything alone and that I couldn't ask for help. And that's just so not true. You are valuable because God made you.
George, talk a little bit about your experience with what Rebecca was saying about this feelings, the feeling of alone, and you've got to take this on by yourself. That's just not true, is it?
No, of course not. It's another lie from the enemy. And we were created for a purpose to exalt God, not ourselves, not another person, but God. And he has a plan for us. And what she talked about is he lets us know that and lets us know that he loves us. I think one of the problems that we have in our lives, I know especially for me, when I'm feeling the worst about myself, I want to run away from God rather than run to him. And that's a lie of the enemy, too. And so I think what she said had great wisdom. And God, if you call on him, he is there because he does exist. And what she's talking about, what Kelly talked about, is the truth, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're hurting, we might not see that. But he reaches down, picks us up, and says, not only do I love you, forgive you, but I got a plan for your whole life.
Right.
That's so much better than anything you could ever imagine, because I created you and I created the universe and I got a role for you. It's a cool deal.
It's very cool. I love you just the way you are, and I insist you change.
Thank you, Bill.
And that's what, yeah. I was talking to you just personally right now, George.
Yeah, I know you were.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to get it back to me somehow. But, Bill, that is so cool. There is a purpose. And if you are listening out there and you've given up hope on yourself, great. Don't give up hope on God. He hasn't given up on you. And on our own, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing, Bill. So we have to do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, not by myself.
It sounds like Rebecca and Kelly both have had experiences where they were willing to encounter Jesus as a savior, but reluctant to encounter him as Lord.
Sure.
Because they still had some of their own stuff to sort out. And once they saw the truth and the truth got into your heart, then you started to follow him as savior and Lord. And that's when the life changes really start to happen, and life really becomes quite wonderful.
Yes, absolutely. I remember when I was in Teen Challenge, standing in my room and having a conversation with the Lord and telling him and giving him my word that I would not leave the ministry of Teen Challenge until I got everything that he called me there to give me. And now I work there. So I'm not sure if he's still trying to give me more or if I'm pouring out into others. It's kind of a two-way street, but it's a pretty amazing thing.
Yeah. George and me, we have conversations with God and we say, you know, Lord, who do you want on the show this week? And he almost never says us.
No, he never has said us. It's the truth.
No, so we understand that we need to have good guests like Rebecca and Kelly on the show so we can share the hope with others, because this is a spectacular story.
It's great, Bill. And we've been doing this over 2 years, and God provides. Just as in everything else, he always provides. Great stories, gosh.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that we're going to change gears just a little bit, George.
We are.
Yes, we are. Yeah, you're going to sing.
What do you want me to sing?
Any show tune, just anything you like.
I don't know any show
tunes. Okay. Now, we're gonna change gears a little bit, and we're going to now have a conversation with a mother who has a number of kids, many of which have suffered and had episodes with addiction. And two of them right now are in a situation where they are are in a pivot point in their life. And so we want to welcome to the program Marcy. How are you, Marcy?
I'm good, thanks.
Pretty amazing testimonies you've heard so far,
oh,
isn't it?
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's just so wonderful to see how God's working. And
it's just great fellowship, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so inspiring to see such
all
bright,
ages.
Happy faces. Yeah. And you've got how many kids?
I have seven.
Wow.
Seven children.
Stereo.
Yeah. Wow. That's a lot. And what are the boys, girls? How many of each?
Four girls and three boys. That
okay.
would make seven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for saying that slowly.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the math has never been a strong thing for George.
Yeah. You know? It kind of went by me.
I had it right away. I knew right away when you said four and three, that was seven.
Well, I liked how you asked if her kids were girls or boys. That, you know, just shows the wisdom of this program. Yeah. So we're here.
What does that mean, George?
I don't know.
What you want a piece of me tonight?
Come on over here, right?
Yeah. Yeah, bring it on. Bring it on. So seven kids, and many of them have drifted into experimenting with using, and that has turned into addictions, and that's turned into a worried mother, huh?
Yes. Yes. Many, you know, sleepless nights. But by the grace of God, he's gotten me and us through it. Without his grace and mercy and strength and the joy, friends, family, and church, I could have never gone through this alone. And I know that God has been with us every step of the way. And it's exciting what he's doing in my children and in the in two of them, especially Emily and David. David is going to be graduating from Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge this month, and right now he's on an interview for a job, so he'll be working when he gets out. And he has he was incarcerated for 9 months. Spent many days in jail and nights, but that is where he came to a realization of just letting go and letting God into his life. And the change in him is just, it is so awesome. And only God could do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the same with Emily. She's incarcerated right now. She was in Teen Challenge for 6 months. And now has to, she's got a 4-year sentence. And, which is, you know, it's heartbreaking for a mother, but I see the excitement of what God is going to do in, you know, the prison there where she's at, that he's just going to use her mightily. And it's not her strength, but the Lord Jesus Christ's strength.
George, it seems like prison is one of those great wake-up calls.
Well, there's a couple things here. If an addict is in jail, they're probably safe, a lot safer than if they're on the street. And I believe, Bill, we've talked many times that the Department of Corrections is the greatest evangelical tool in the United States or in the world at this time. More of us come to the relationship with Jesus Christ through the Department of Corrections. I know I did. I think if we went around the room here, we'd say that. That gets your attention.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people there that need to hear about Jesus. So I always respect the fact that people go through programs and then go do some of their consequence time, that God has them in there to talk to other people about a way out that have given up hope. It's almost missionary work, and it's tough. But one of our good friends, our first guest, Tom C., we ever had on this program, went through a program and then had to go to prison afterwards. And he talked to many people about Jesus while he was in there. So it's all good.
What I find very encouraging and inspiring is that you have a sense of very bright hope. And obviously your children have done some self-destructive things, and they got off the track a little bit. But what I see in your heart, in your eyes, is a hopeful mother with nothing but love and support and affirmation. And I am so touched by what you're sharing with us tonight.
Thank you.
So your daughter, Emily, is she a mother as well?
No. All my children, I just have one daughter that has two children.
Mm-hmm.
So I have two granddaughters, 7 and 4, and they're just delightful.
And then have you been following the Lord yourself for a long time? Or?
Well, I came from a very large family.
Okay.
And we were a lot of alcoholic. Most of them were alcoholics. When I was in my early 20s, my sister came home, and she had been going to a they had those, the church, she would go to this evangelisms, and she came home one time, and she told us about Jesus, and we listened, and every time she would come home, she'd tell us more, and one by one of my brothers and sisters, we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I was addicted to alcohol and drugs, probably from maybe 16 till early 20s. But God just delivered me with no treatment, nothing. So I was very fortunate, you know, to get out of that scene. And so I know I can feel their pain and feel, you know, for my children and other kids, what they're going through. You know, it's a way to cope. And
this is an extended family right here in the studio, isn't it? I mean, you love these women.
Oh, exactly.
You're right, don't you?
Yeah.
And
it's so
vice
exciting
versa.
To hear their stories.
It is, isn't it?
You know, the success stories that, you know, Jesus is here to hope or for healing and the hope that we have in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can get it. Mm-hmm. We can't get that peace from anybody else.
Yeah.
And
George, we don't hear often, but I love hearing the story of God delivering someone from using. Marcy had an experience in her teens into her early 20s, and God got her attention, and that was all she really did in terms of recovery. But boy, she's walking with the Lord now and mentoring and discipling her children, even through their difficulties.
He's going to get what he wants, Bill. And my guess is that, you know, maybe she didn't go to a traditional 12-step program or treatment or whatever, but my guess is she got in the Word and started going to church and was with other believers, as you always talk about, that we need to find a new playground, you know, new people to hang out with and new things to do. So that is the recovery, and maybe it wasn't formalized, but I think if God wants you on his team, and I think he wants everybody on his team, and he reaches down and calls you, you've got to do your part. My guess is that's what she's been doing. Is that fair?
Yes, that is.
We're going to take a very short break, and when we come back, we're going to have one more segment with our mamas here on Mother's Day. You're listening to Real Recovery with Bill Arnold and George Fraser. Alex on the board. Be back in just a minute. And his hand fell behind him as his arm had reached around. Welcome back, everyone, to Real Recovery. So glad you joined us tonight. Happy Mother's Day. Never tired of saying that, George.
Right.
Because there's lots of reasons to be celebrating mothers. And if you are a mother, thank you for what you do. We love you.
Big thank you to all the moms out there. Get that cliche out of the way. But you're right. What a gift from God.
That wasn't a cliche.
No, mine was.
What was yours?
You know, thanks to all the moms.
Oh, yeah, that was cliche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think about it, we see God's love through our moms a lot.
Mothers,
that unconditional love.
Yes, mothers will love you the most when you deserve it the least. That's what they specialize in.
Like that.
Yeah. See, I say things that are insightful, George, because I prepare.
I don't.
Clearly, you don't.
Clearly. That's... I remember when my mom said to me, I hope I live long enough to see you with kids, George, and I knew that was a compliment.
Yeah. But we're in studio tonight with three mothers Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge who have been touched by Christ in their life and have been given a new start, a new chance. And Marcy, we're just talking to, is a mother of seven, and she has a child that's a son that's been incarcerated and a daughter that's currently incarcerated. And I think when she gets out, she gets to return to do a little bit more work at Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. Is that right?
Yes. She wants to graduate from there and then go to the IT leadership school.
And she's got a four-year sentence?
She does.
Okay. And do you think she'll have to serve 4 years or?
Well, I'm praying she won't.
Yeah.
We're just taking it day by day. You know, she struggles some days just, you know, not with the consequence because she knew that this changed her life, what she did. She sold drugs.
Oh, she did?
Yes.
Okay.
She was using and selling. And she knew it actually saved her life. So she is so thankful for that.
Otherwise, she would have ended up further down the road.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly dead, huh?
Right.
So I'm curious as to how a mother like you prays.
Well, in my car, at work, in the morning, you know, I just...
What kind of conversations do you have with God? I mean, there's a feeling that must be desperate at times. And
yes.
What are we going to do? My daughter's selling drugs and using them.
Yeah, well, a lot of it I didn't know.
Okay.
I was very blind to what they were using, my children, which is probably a godsend for me. But when I found out, you know, I took action.
And how did you find out? Did it come in the form of an arrest?
Arrest. Maybe the other kids would say something because they were worried about it.
Okay. No,
there was overdoses.
Okay.
You know, many treatment centers we went through with them. But, you know, my prayer was always, Lord, put your hedge of protection around them and that they would come to the knowledge of you. And they were short prayers, you know, some
Did you feel like you lacked energy sometimes to pray?
Yes. And that's where the church and my friends, you know, I felt like Aaron, when he held up Moses' hands, when that they were there to intercede for me and to pray for my children. And I'm so thankful for that, for the body of Christ.
Yeah, so you've had good support within your community. You've had people that love you and call you and ask how you're doing. And they're suffering along with you.
Yeah.
And not trying to fix anything.
Tell mothers and even fathers that, you know, there was a time period that I didn't go to church because I was so I was so down and I was so embarrassed that, you know, I took it very personally that it was my fault that all this was happening. And, but He took me out of that and said, you know, you did the best you could and lifted me up and continued on. He got me into a church body again. So don't give up, parents, on your children. They need us more than ever now. You know, with the drugs are so, you know, they're so easy to get and so you know, the peer pressure is just out there. And we just have to surround our children with love, and God will do the rest.
I'm impressed with how patient you have been. That's a godly characteristic, and that probably a gift from the Holy Spirit that's given you that sort of patience, because to have kids struggling like that and to be out of control for a little period of time would be so difficult. And your energy and your desire just to keep steady with the Lord and saying, Lord, they're in your hands. I pray your protection around them. You start to feel how inadequate you can feel at times. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yeah, and I know, you know, that I can't do it, you know, in my own strength, you know, that it's only from him.
Well, we're not designed to do that. I want to roll that back a little bit, Bill. There was some really good stuff in there. I think when she talks about going to church, she didn't go because she didn't feel like she could go and should. We put our God's view on our relationship. And what I mean is he's unconditionally love us. And sometimes we think, well, I had a good week, so he'll be glad I'm going to church and I'll be rewarded for this. But when we mess up, we don't want to do it. And I need to be with Jesus all the time. And when I mess up, which is all the time, I need to do it even more. And that's just the opposite of what we want to do. And I think we transfer how we see people on to how God does, and he doesn't see us that way. He sees us through Jesus, and we are white as snow, and that's what we need to do. We got to be making the effort every day to walk our walk.
Really. Great point. It's a great point, George.
And you see how patient and loving and kind she is. I'm just like hanging out with her.
Oh, I know.
This is great. It's calming.
What I heard Marcy say is she would take her story and put it inside God's big story, mm-hmm. and in God's big story, your story was safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I felt like there was a lot of confidence you had that God was in control and you weren't, and you were just going to rely on him and count on him for everything.
Yeah.
How about the hedge of protection, too? I kind of like that.
Love that.
Yeah.
You got that right, George.
Just put that around the show. Too late?
For today, yeah. It's too late. Maybe next week.
Okay.
Alex, would you remind us next week?
Yeah, noted.
Yeah, thanks.
Noted. That was so good. Thank you for sharing that. God is glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And I heard three stories today that exalted God. Here's I couldn't do it. I didn't want to do it. I asked him. He did it. And it gets better and better and better. Fabulous. Mm-hmm.
There are stories all the time on the show, George, that when people are at that point where they realize their methods and their lifestyle is completely not working, that when they take a step towards Jesus, he's already taken many, many steps towards you. And you keep thinking the distance to travel to him is so far, and it's not. It's right there. And he shows up. I stand at the door and knock of your life. And you think of the position of someone standing and knocking. It's a ready position. It's not like I'm on my boat. I'll be back in an hour. Like someone else I can think of right now.
Or he's golfing or something like that.
I'm on the golf course for 4 hours. I'm standing at your door. I'm just on the other side. And you said, yes, I'm going to open it up and invite you in. And there is your strength and confidence. George, those are great Mother's Day stories.
Loved it.
And, you know, I never get tired of hearing him. I think it constantly reminds me of the power of God to completely change and transform someone's life. And that's why we do the show.
It never gets old, because we have a living God who can do whatever he wants. And when we allow him to let us follow him, great things happen. It doesn't matter how far down the scale you've gone. You will not regret the past or wish to shut the door upon it. You can see that your experience can show Jesus to other people, because what Jesus did in your life, we need to share.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to walk it, not just talk it. We need to walk it. And tonight, we heard that.
Yeah, and there is nothing but hope and what sounds like a really great future for all of our guests and their kids. And I love that.
It's exciting.
You, I don't feel so confident about. But
no, it's kind of over for me at this point.
Well, it's almost over for us, for the show tonight, because we're just wrapping things up. But we're so glad you joined us on this Mother's Day, and we, again, I'll say it one more time, George, we love mothers.
We all
and,
do.
I love my mother, and thanks for bringing me into this world, and thank you for giving me life, and thank you for modeling great Christian love. And mothers are essential. We do very little without them, and we love them. And we're glad that we had three spectacular stories from great, beautiful mothers here in the studio tonight. So we're so glad that you joined us. Thank you so much for being on the program. And to all the mothers out there, have a great night, and we'll see you next time. Thanks a lot. Good night. God bless.